Hello, Stargazers. Welcome to Seventh House Astrology, where I take any topic that's astrological or any topic that's related to relationships and romance. I investigate it under the lens of Synastry Astrology, otherwise known as Love Relationship Astrology. I am your host, Sandra Mizek, and I'm so glad that you guys have joined me for today. So today's topic, because I have done very few aspects episodes, I decided today was a good day to do another aspect episode. This time it's on Mars conjunct Neptune and what that means, not only for the individual who has that within their chart, but I also like these episodes because I get to play matchmaker with astrology and see like which aspects in their partner would work out for someone who has this position in their chart. So without further ado, let's go ahead and dive right in. So first, how did I come up to this aspect and had chosen this aspect? Well, all thanks to Jennifer Fried, PhD, the actual creator and author of the Astrology Oracle from Blue Heart. I love this deck, Stargazers, because not only is it really beautiful and really pretty and accessible, but also, it has basically the cards are, they have like two glyphs of two different planets and what they mean, an aspect to your life. And I also love, Jennifer Fried and how she breaks it down. Basically she breaks down these conjunctions, into, you know, primitive, of, you know, you're kind of in the middle ground where you're adaptive, and then the highest form of this expression of two planetary energies, the evolving, which in astrology, that's where we try to aim for, is that evolving, aspect within ourselves and within our charts. It's great to look at, like, her guidebook's great to look at like certain, aspects in your chart. Actually, there was one day where I got this aspect, this card, you know, within a reading. And it was actually quite interesting. And I just looked at it. It's like, you know, I've had some queries. I've had some questions about this aspect. I think it would be a good topic all the way around. And also the second time that I first heard about this aspect was in one of my favorite crime shows. That was Major Crimes. I forget the name of the episode. I know it was like later on in their season. And because they're dealing with Philip Stroh, aka played so brilliantly by Billy Burke. If you're not really familiar with Billy Burke, he's also known as the guy who plays Bella's dad in the Twilight films. Yeah, very versatile actor. He's also known for playing Mitch Morgan in Zoo. So, I mean, he's had a lot of television and movie credits to his name. Check him out if you haven't heard of him. Like I said, great character actor, great versatile actor as well, too. He's played equal amounts of bad guys as well as good guys. It's kind of interesting, like, where he flies to. But, yeah, he basically played Philip Stroh, and it was a later episode. But the whole episode was really great for three reasons. Well, I mentioned the first one. There's Billy Burke playing Philip Stroh. The second one was that Annie Potts guest starred. Annie Potts is one of my most favorite actresses of all time. And actually actors, actresses of all time, because I know that, you know, that those terms kind of get thrown around equally. But then the third was that it dealt with astrology, because the killer was obsessed with Mars conjunct Neptune. And did I also mention Annie Potts plays an astrologer in that episode? Oh, it was like heaven for me. I love that. I still love that episode to this day. But yes, this particular aspect, so Mars conjunct Neptune, was what was focused on, because apparently Philip Stroh, as well as the killer, the main killer in the episode, were both focused and almost obsessed and noting this aspect down in an ephemeris, and also just kind of focusing on this aspect. And originally I thought it's like, well, it's quite an aspect to focus on. And I thought it was an unlikely aspect at the time because I'm like, well, Neptune, knowing that it dilutes whichever planet it comes into contact with, it dilutes the power of, or the planet of willpower, steadfast determination. You know, I would see the psycho killer wanting to focus on Mars and just Mars, not on Neptune conjunct, because the Neptune conjunct kind of lessens Mars's potency, you know, the fire, the robustness, the spark that we get from, you know, Mars. A second planet that I would also see a psycho killer being like obsessed with would be Pluto, because that's a planet of power, and like power as in overlording people and how to use it to manipulate people and to come to manipulative means. Maybe they might be focused on Saturn. Maybe, you know, Saturn being determination. But I would see Saturn being conjunct like something like Pluto, where they'd be even more obsessed with that. But yeah, Mars conjunct Neptune, not really. So I kind of felt like that was interesting. And actually, I found out there was another aspect, or there was another meaning to this aspect after I was like, while I was watching this, you know, Major Crimes episode. So I thought that that was interesting as well. And we will be revealing that in just a moment. But because this is kind of an aspect where I'm thinking, well, you know, Mars gets kind of diluted in the chart, I'd say that individuals maybe don't have a lot of willpower in their chart, but I actually wanted to before I finalized that conclusion, I actually investigated this planetary conjunction by the way of Chris Brennan, of the host of the Astrology Podcast, by researching the history behind it. So what I did was I took a look at when this particular conjunct was in the sky and what was going on within those times as well. And it was quite interesting. But the first occurrence of Neptune conjunct Mars, and by the way, this actually happens every four years or so. I'd like to say or so, because astrology and the orbits above have their own agenda sometimes. But around 4 years is when this happens, which kind of makes sense. Mars moves every 2 weeks, whereas Neptune does not. So within that 2 week frame, eventually Mars comes up to wherever Neptune is and makes that conjunct. But it takes a little while to kind of get there, which also seems to make sense. Like right now, you know, with Neptune being in Pisces, Mars also being in Pisces, we're not fully conjunct just as of yet. I don't know if we're going to be seeing that conjunct this year within Pisces, but it is an interesting occurrence when it does happen. So the first occurrence of this that was documented within history was in the 1760s. And the characteristics of that time were, you know, in America, we were just starting to rev up for the American Revolution. But I think what also happened prior to this was that England kind of felt like, it kind of felt itself within its seat of power. You know, it ended the 7 Years' War with France. And, you know, with that victory in France, not only were they feeling their power, but they were like extending their power. There was, they were actually trying to, actually they did colonize particular provinces in Canada and made them their colonies. And then furthermore, there was the fact that we were also colonized by England. And actually, it was the first patriots or the first colonists to America who despised that. And within Neptune conjunct Mars, we actually saw, you know, the Boston Tea party, where mainly the, you know, all the, resources from Britain, particularly tea. So tea was actually shipped directly to the United States from Britain. And the first colonialists basically said, yeah, we're not going to take anything from Great Britain. You know, you think you owe us nothing. We're going to be our own independent, you know, nation. And they dumped all the tea into the harbor at that time. So that was happening at that time. But also, despite the fact that the Seven Years' War was occurring, there was a Frenchman and an American who took the first ballooning expedition over the English Channel. And I thought that that was interesting. It's like, despite the fact that there was war between the two countries, that there was still, like I said, a Frenchman in essence and an Englishman who were willing to work together and willing to still collaborate together. And the first thing that I thought of, I noted the ballooning situations here, because what I was starting to see was that in the 1760s, there was a lot of movement from, okay, here I am, I have inspiration, but let's try to make sure we make this out, you know, this inspiration count by actually moving it forward. You know, where Neptune usually is just like, wow, I have this imagination, I have this inspiration, but you don't really, you kind of are sluggish over it. You're more likely to daydream about it. You're more likely to just kind of sit on your laurels on it. Mars kind of moves this energy to where it's like, let's put this in action. Let's actually see where this inspiration takes us by actually doing it in the everyday. And I think that that's amazing. And I think that that's actually something that stands out in someone, in a native who has this aspect in their chart, is that, you know, they're moving away from just dreaming about something and actually, you know, really making it stand out. I would say with this in mind, I think it was Cafe Astrology that mentioned a lot of individuals who have this aspect in their chart can be great healers. I also think that they can be great innovators and great artists in this regard, knowing that inspiration kind of is within those areas primarily. I think a lot of like great engineers, a lot of great artists, a lot of just, like I said, great innovators, those who can just, you know, embrace the what ifs and not only sit back, you know. So unlike me, where I have Mercury squared Neptune and where I'm prone to daydreaming and procrastinating and procrastination, you know, basically these are innovators that, you know, not only have the what ifs and envisioning the what ifs, but also they have the impetus to move those what ifs forward. So they're the types where it's like, hey, I have this vision for this painting. These are the particular individuals that usually put that vision to work in their painting. And maybe they're like, you know, doing a lifelong worth of work, putting that vision into that painting. Or maybe like in that first time with that painting, they kind of put that vision right there. And then, you know, also within innovations, it's not just that they get the inspiration behind the innovation, but they're seeing like how the pieces can actually work and work really constructively as well sustainably, and really make sure that, again, their dreams are coming to life. I would say these are also individuals who are great manifestors in that regard, you know, just great natural manifestors, in the regard that they're not just sitting and dreaming, that they're actually, like I said, acting on those dreams and trying to bring them to life. I would say that with Mars conjunct Neptune, the timeline for getting something like their dreams accomplished, you know, I would say it's between very quickly. And, you know, like I said, we have both a personal planet that moves very quickly, and we have a generational planet that does not. So I'd say the fast pace of it all, not too fast paced. I think these are individuals who they don't mind working on a masterpiece. They don't mind going about something for even if it takes a couple of years. They're not really big on, you know, bring it forward right now, as you see with those who are ruled by Mars particularly. Nor is it extremely slow as what you see with any adverse of aspects with Neptune or anyone who has Neptune dominant placements in their charts. So I'd say like they kind of go about things at a very medium pace. And I would say kind of like with a Saturn placement, they might be very slow and steady when it comes to their innovations. And kind of like with the ballooning expeditions, it has to be slow and steady because you have to take into mind, you know, what if the winds don't cooperate with us? You know, we have to make sure we're on a ballooning expedition where the winds gonna cooperate with us. You know, even though we're using heat to, you know, kind of propel the balloon, you know, still we have to have conditions, you know, kind of really agree with us. We have to have good weather. You know, there were some other factors along with how are we going to design our balloon to make this long expedition over the English Channel? How are we going to, you know, what's going to be in factor or in store? And I think there are just a lot of considerations that might have taken like a year or more, a little bit like a year or year and a half. And I would say that's probably kind of the trajectory with a lot of the visions that individuals who have this aspect in their chart pursue. Well, as if it wasn't enough that we had a Frenchman and Englishman with a ballooning expedition, the same also happened with Ireland, except they're moving farther west with their ballooning expeditions. And again, it's like, you know, the inspiration coming to life. At this time as well, Mozart also composed number 19 in C. So again, you know, heard this wonderful major symphony inside. I don't want to say it's a symphony. It's just he heard number 19 in C and thought it was brilliant and could hear it in his ears. Instead of just like listening out for it and, you know, kind of keeping the tune in mind, I wouldn't be surprised with Mozart if he instantly penned whatever came into his mind, whatever came into his ears, and, you know, came out with it, came out with that. I think it was like a dissonance symphony or dissonance sonata. I might be misquoting here. That's why I'm not a history buff. I do that often. But yeah, number 19 in C was what resulted. And that was at this time as well. It was considered to be like a dissonance sort of piece of his. And I kind of find that that's also not uncommon because, again, we have, you know, a very, you know, two unlike planets that are conjunct here, you know, two like opposite planets, if you may, that could cause some sort of dissonance as well too. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if those who have this aspect in their chart and they're natives of this aspect in their chart, if they might have a lot of push-pull tendencies because they're contending with the slowness and the dreaminess of Neptune with the hard-paced fastness of Mars. So I'd say that whatever number 19 in C sounds like is probably a good representation of this particular aspect in time as well. Other notable times that I had looked at as well. So I remembered this time, actually, there were some things in current events that really stood out for me. That was 2011, and then, of course, 2015. So in 2011, the two biggest current events that really stood out for me and that were highlighted were the basic peaceful protests in Egypt. I believe that with the Egyptians, they were rebelling against Mahmud. They were doing so peacefully. They had wanted to go to war with the fact that there was essentially a dictator that was nominated or that was put into office and put into a authoritarian sort of position. And, you know, originally with the Egyptians, they wanted to go to war. They wanted to, you know, express their dissent with violence. They wanted to express their dissent by, well, like one man had said, I want to give this person a piece of my mind. But they, there was a motion in mind where they actually had to contend with, hey, you know, when it comes to peaceful protesting, would that go a little farther than, you know, giving somebody a piece of their mind and going about things with violence? And I thought that this was, you know, this was at the beginning of 2011. It kind of gave me some hope at that time. I not only had recently graduated from college, I graduated from college in 2010. I was studying Buddhism at that time, and I really loved anything that kind of dealt with dealing with things with peace. And I think the whole, you know, it's kind of interesting that I was feeling this influx of, you know, trying to express what I was learning through Buddhism, by just like expressing things through peace. And that a lot of major events also happened to be of that regard. But this really stood out for me because it's like, for once there was a peaceful protest. There wasn't a ton of violence. We come out of a couple of years where it was just like, we disagree with you. Ah, bricks through the window, pick up the guns. And this was something that was very different as well too. This was something that was very different. Unfortunately, with the difference, the Egyptian people, they were hoping with the peaceful protest that Mahmoud would listen in and maybe accomplish and come to, you know, a peaceful agreement, maybe making some compromises for how Egypt should be run. And unfortunately, with Mahmoud, he usurped all of that. Went right into office and basically, you know, nearly had a lot of the peaceful protesters killed in very savage sort of ways. So that was kind of like with 2010, 2011, there were some things that kind of let me down a little bit, as well as there were some things that I still remember to this day that kind of not only boosted up my spirits and my sense of hope at that time, but I still remind myself whenever I'm in, I remind myself of these situations whenever I'm in a slump. And the second situation that actually happened during this time was also, I think it was Japan. It was mentioned that Japan faced a tsunami. I think earlier, what I do remember was that they also faced an earthquake. And with this earthquake, it was very, you know, the way that everyone had responded, I think it was like CNN, MSNBC had documented, you know, what it was like under the rubble. You know, there was one particular building that unfortunately didn't make it when it came to the earthquake. And, you know, basically, you know, everyone was kind of underneath the rubble. Instead of doing what normally a lot of Americans tend to do when there's rubble, which is, you know, kind of save themselves and then go back and save other individuals, this was actually kind of unique in the regard that everyone in Japan, you know, when the rubble had occurred, excuse me, everyone basically kind of grabbed each other's hands around themselves. And as they were saving themselves immediately, because they held hands with at least two other people, they actually saved others with it. And there were more people who actually, you know, really survived through this rubble because of that sort of situation. And I just, it struck me, really, I love this image. It was not only inspiring then, but it's still inspiring now. It was just basically the epitome of teamwork and, you know, society that basically still you know, acts within the greatest form of teamwork when it came to not only thinking about themselves when it came to rubble, but also thinking about everybody else. I would not be surprised when it came to the tsunami later on that with evacuation warnings, that everybody piled up their cars not only with their families, but also they'd go to a next door neighbor's house and say, hey, we're evacuating, and, you know, offer to take them to shelter as well. And I wouldn't be surprised if it was not just a neighbor, but also a number of neighbors down the block, and therefore increasing the chances that everyone survives out of the situation. I find that this was the epitome of peacefulness because it's like everyone's watching out for each other. Or here's a society within Japan where everyone's watching out for each other. And like I said, I just, whenever I feel disparaged or whenever I feel just kind of like things are not going very well within my life, I definitely remember that image as well too. And it was, like I said, within every major news media organization. But I think this kind of emphasizes that another situation with somebody who has Neptune conjunct Mars in their chart, which is, you know, being more inclined towards peaceful activity. Actually, Cathay Astrology heightens this with they're actually seen as being those who have this aspect in their charts are seen as being more like pacifists as opposed to somebody who like actively stirs discord. And I would say if not complete pacifist, then somebody who really is very peaceful at their end. And instead of, you know, pick up the guns or they're like, you know, rebelling against something, I'd say unlike the person or the native who has Uranus conjunct Jupiter in their chart, where it's damn the man, pick up the guns, do whatever you need to do to show your dissent. These are individuals where it's just the opposite, where it's like, yeah, you can show your dissent, but let's try to find a way to be peaceful about it. You know, instead of, you know, picking up the cardboard protesting sort of, signets or, you know, just kind of picking up, the protesting cardboard, signs, and instead of, you know, picking up the guns, and instead of, you know, trying to cause more chaos than what they're already is, let's try to put our heads together and think of something novel or think of something else. Whether it's a peaceful protest, as we saw with Egypt, or whether it is, you know, everyone's looking out for each other. I think those are two ideas. I think with individuals, you know, being innovative as they are, the natives who have Mars conjunct Neptune in their chart might think of other novel ways to be peaceful and yet to, you know, stick it to those who are dictators or those who are oppressors, and also find a valid solution within the, you know, the conflict that rises. The last time in which we had Neptune conjunct Mars was when the Major Crimes episode had actually aired, which was 2015. Now, with the current events, I did remember, and yet I didn't remember, possibly because I was also going back to barbering school, and that kind of took up my time as well. So I didn't have as much time to devote to looking at current events as I did in 2011. So there were times where, yes, I remembered the major, you know, news media coverage of these events, but I didn't really fully remember as wholly. But there was a Charlie Hebdo that happened where 17 individuals, I think it was just basically Charlie Hebdo. I've actually read it. It's a really cool resource to really check out, especially if you're learning the French language. It's a satirical newspaper, and apparently there was a gunman who really didn't agree. I think particularly it was how a Muslim was being portrayed. So instead of, like, you know, peacefully rioting, or like maybe say writing a letter to the publication itself, this person just went in and shot 17 people of this publication. It stirred a whole global event. Not, you know, so in Paris, there was not only a, hey, you know, all of our voices count, but also, you know, within the United States, it's like, hey, we got to protect our First Amendments, because guess, look at what can happen with Charlie Hebdo. You know, and then also throughout the world too, there were a lot of, you know, actors who advocated for the right of free speech, the right of free reporting, not having to, you know, it's like having, individuals kind of accept, it's like, especially for a satirical newspaper, you know, kind of accept that it's like, look, kind of look at the content more closely, you know, before you criticize, and maybe, you know, support that the person who wrote whatever it was has as much of a freedom as the individual who disagrees. And then maybe, like I had mentioned too, this individual decided to gun 17 people down. I really felt like, again, there could have been a more peaceful outcome for this one. You know, I understand, you know, if you are Muslim or you know Muslims, and Muslims are being portrayed rather not so great in a publication, right? You know, have not only have yourself, or not only, let me just rephrase this, sorry. Actually, you write to the newspaper, or you write to the publication, and then also get a number of people to write to the publication. Have the publication be flooded with letters stating that, hey, you're being racist, or hey, you're being prejudiced, or hey, you're spreading hate towards my religion around with this particular satirical situation. It's like, and look, while we, you know, understand that this cannot be retracted or redacted, you know, which is basically when a publication kind of pulls a particular article out. But while we understand that this might, you know, might be too late because this is already out in the public, it's like, how about we have your editors and we have your columnists think twice before publishing something super offensive in your publication? But yeah, with Charlie Hebdo, I think, you know, again, while there was advocation of free speech and freedom of speech, you know, especially in places where it's not really very prominent, you know, in Paris, you know, the fact that Charlie Hebdo is standing is amazing, because again, Paris and France in general have seen some fascist measures on and off over how many decades, how many years. And the fact that I said, like I said, that Charlie Hebdo actually stands and that it's a publication is really quite amazing. But like I said, again, I think really the awareness that was raised was, you know, look, it's okay to disagree, but find another way to disagree. It was also another situation where, you know, the rising of the First Amendment, or First Amendment rights, or even free speech was being also made aware in public. And how in many countries, including the United States, that it was being taken for granted. So I think with this particular aspect within history, within 2015, we have someone who, with a native in this chart, would also advocate for those, you know, probably, again, peacefully advocate for freedom, or peacefully, you know, kind of be a revolutionary in that regard, or be like kind of a revolutionary individual when advocating for certain freedoms. However, again, as noted earlier, making sure that situations are peacefully mentioned, not pick up the gun and go, you know, go shoot 17 people. I think that was also what was majorly criticized, was how this was, you know, how the incident was actually wrapped up within that time. And again, individuals who are natives in this chart would just say, yeah, let's find a more peaceful way to go about this. But also still raise some awareness when it comes to a particular problem as well. So with all of these factors in history in mind, there was also, I looked on Cafe Astrology. So not only is this individual who has Mars conjunct Neptune really very peaceful, not only are they really very revolutionary, but also very innovative as well. They also can be very charismatic, which I thought was kind of interesting. And that was the first thing that stood out with the Major Crimes episode was, oh, charisma, huh? But I think the situation that happens with that is that Mars is actually increasing the compassion of the aspects of Neptune. And then furthermore, Neptune is kind of, you know, Neptune's all about spiritual or spirituality, anything that could be considered to be within the mists. And, you know, Mars is kind of heightening that as well. So in turn, we do see a lot of basically charismatic, I think like in 2015, there were a lot of people who were trying to be like cult leaders. Stargazers, a little bit of a side note here. So sorry if I'm clearing my throat on the air, and so sorry to keep pausing. For some reason, I don't know whether it's the dry air or whether there's a lot of junk in there, but I have had so many tickles in the back of my throat. It has been ridiculous today. So hopefully my voice still comes across as clear as possible. I always seem to have onslaughts against my voice whenever I record. So very sorry about that. But with 2015 especially, I saw that there were a lot of people who were trying to be like cult leaders almost, you know, trying to be charismatic. I know in barbering school, I had, come across a lot of individuals who were trying to accomplish being like charismatic and not knowing where to start. And I feel like this aspect increases that, which is kind of, like I said, just also very interesting. I say cult-like leaders because, again, we're increasing the spirituality of Neptune and the myths of Neptune. You know, Mars is kind of instigating all of that. And normally a lot of cult leaders, normally, you know, there's some exceptions to the norm, but they usually propose a certain, you know, religion or philosophy. I had seen a lot of that in barbering school with a lot of 18 to 19 year old guys, you know, trying to be charismatic, but yet you kind of could tell that they didn't know one thing or another about charisma. I think what really a lot of people who have Mars conjunct Neptune, the natives, really kind of recognize is that charisma. So again, they really, I think when they like read something like Olivia Fox Cabane's book, The Charisma Myth, that basically they, I think her knowledge of, hey, charisma is warmth plus power plus presence, they probably already know that because they already encompass that in their everyday. And, you know, they really carry through the warmth factor is what I do see a lot of, as well as the presence or the power and the presence of themselves. I feel like it's their warmth that really leads through. Warmth being like relatability to people, kind of really making a lot of room for other people in their lives, as opposed to, you know, hypnotizing or, you know, overruling people with the power and the presence factor of it, which a lot of people think of when they hear the term charisma. It's like, you know, people just become magnetized to them and they can like tell a joke, or they can become magnetized to them for their wonderful good looks. And actually, that's not how charisma really functions. But because these natives, so we have peaceful, we have, you know, very, you know, kind of charismatic as well too. A lot of these individuals are like the type three notion within the Enneagram, which is they really don't know how to express anger very well. And this is according to Cafe Astrology. So with not learning how to express anger very well, it might come out in like passive aggressive forms, or just not at all. And then sometimes that can lead to other situations and upsets, like an upset stomach, digestive, not so great digestive tracts. And, you know, just due to the stress of penting up that anger, but also they're trying to placate to their audience a lot. And this is also true with type three in the Enneagram, where, you know, they're trying to kind of mold or try to be, you know, chameleon in the circumstances that they're within so that they feel that they're bonding with people often. So again, a little bit of a warning with that, like with type three, in the Enneagram, they have to learn how to, you know, acknowledge that they are not their accomplishments and they are not their contacts. I think with somebody who has Mars conjunct Neptune, you know, really, you're not just the crowd that you're within. You're also an individual, and really making your individuality stand out. You know, as much as they're tempted to try to appease everybody, not get angry, try to be peaceful. And all these are really wonderful aims, you know, really getting in touch. It's like if something upsets you, really like constructively getting in touch with anger, I think is the best thing. That could be the first thing that a lot of individuals with this placement in their chart can do. And with that said, I mean, instead of like letting it out onto people, I would say constructive means is like, you know, maybe doing something like kickboxing for a little bit, letting the anger out through like a shadow boxing sort of session, or writing out what makes you angry. I've actually noticed lately, because I'm trying to let go of someone who perpetually makes me angry at work, I have actually noticed that at writing, the dialogue out in dialogue format actually really helps me out, in coming to catharsis. I think that might be a good measure for someone who has, Mars conjunct Neptune as well. You know, like journaling or writing something out, writing the ills out and getting it out onto a sheet of paper, as opposed to letting it fester within you, I think is really a good key and a good measure for achieving longevity, or I don't want to say longevity, but achieving some good emotional health, as well as just good health in general. Because again, with anger, I can tell you from experience, having Mars not only in a water sign, but 29 degrees, I have been equally guilty of penting up a lot of anger. That always shows, for me, it shows in GERD. For others, I've known others who do the same thing. It shows up, it can show up as Crohn's disease. It can show up as irritable bowel syndrome. It can show up as, you know, how I think it, I forget. I think it's like, I like to think of celery in there. It's another digestive disorder. A lot of digestive disorders seem to erupt from pent-up anger a lot of the time. Not only that too, but pent-up anger is like, you know, when you hold a pot down of something that's boiling, you know, eventually that, you know, as that pot roils and boils, it's going to bleed out. It's going to bleed over, especially if you fill a pot to like near full. My example was my dad used to make mashed potatoes in his day. So sorry, but I am still missing. This is how I miss my dad. I remember a lot of good things. And then it's like, oh, it's in the past tense, unfortunately. But with my dad, he used to fill up a pot full of potatoes and also a lot of water. And there were times, like, especially on high heat or even on low heat too, where that water would boil and then it would boil over. And you could hear the flame underneath fizzing out with the water that was boiling over. That's how I feel anger. That's like a good representation of bottled up anger, where it's roiling and boiling and roiling and boiling. You can contain it for only so long before it becomes the water that's bubbling over and letting out, you know, trying to let out the flame to no end. But it's like your anger boils over, and it can boil over in a minor event where, like, you get super upset over something that really doesn't require a lot of upset, you know, when it comes to a specific situation. So again, looking at constructive means to express anger and also express emotions, I think, is also another key element for those who are natives who have Mars conjunct Neptune. Other things that Cathay Astrology had mentioned with Mars conjunct Neptune is that individuals who have this, you know, this aspect in their chart may find that others might have a lot of hard difficulty or a lot of difficulty or hard time pegging you because, again, you're blending in with the crowd. Also, with that cult-like charisma, possibly could be manipulative, very persuasive. So I would just say with that charisma, use it towards a positive aim and a positive goal, kind of like redirecting Pluto's influence. We can either use Pluto's influence to, you know, overlord people, or we could use it to transform those base tendencies to overlord over people and do something, you know, revamp it to a better aim, like, you know, use your power for a good cause, for advocating for a good cause, use your power for advocating for a good measure, or use your power for advocating what everybody can do about certain political issues in everyday life and promote those issues. I think the same with Mars conjunct Neptune. With your charisma, you can actually advocate for things that are of the highest good, like how to keep peace in society, you know, in a society that's prone towards war and prone towards violence. You know, how to keep, you know, like a pacifistic sort of measure, if you may, against corruption or against, you know, any sort of violence. You know, really trying to uphold some like positive measures as opposed to being manipulative, as opposed to, you know, instead of thinking of what to gain for you, maybe what could you gain from a good cause? What can you gain from helping people genuinely? And what can you gain from doing something positive? I think that will help to fuel your charisma that much more and help to fuel your image that much more, as opposed to using it like a cult leader and just trying to overly manipulate people because, you know, that's what feels right. You know, kind of use your status for a better aim is what I would say. Definitely reach for a better aim. All right. So to the much anticipated part of the episode, who would best be paired with when it comes to this aspect? Now, the first thing that I actually thought of was if somebody has a lot of yin in their chart. So yin means a lot of earth or a lot of water. So this individual who has Neptune conjunct Mars, they have a lot of water or earth in their chart. So I would say Scorpio would be a good match. I know that it kind of doesn't seem like it at first, but I thought of Scorpio because Scorpions at least know how to assert themselves And they also, you know, in their highest form, they have been known to help others assert themselves as well. Carmen Turner Shaw, the resident astrologer on Just Ask Spirit, had actually admitted to this. She was holding a group, and apparently there were a couple of people. She's a Piscean, no boundaries, apparently. Apparently there were a lot of people who were like trying to take advantage of that. She had a moderator who's a Scorpio who actually saw right through that and cut them right off to help protect Carmen Turner Shaw when it came to the lack of boundaries. And like I said, a lot of Scorpios help with that, especially if there are individuals who feel like they can't really voice their opinions, or they have a lot of hard times in voicing their opinions or executing boundaries. I do see this with Mars conjunct Neptune, where they'd rather placate and please the crowd and therefore kind of do away with their boundaries. And I think that Scorpios would be a great fit in the regard that they could teach this person how to execute proper boundaries, like good boundaries, as well as proper boundaries. So proper boundaries to me are, you know, you are considering yourself, what you will not put up with. When you put up your boundaries, but also you're making it manageable so that people can follow those boundaries. It's not like, no one come near me. That's obviously very unreasonable. Instead, like maybe let's decrease the amount of people who are near me to about like 5 at a time, because my energy is running a little low. After 5, let me go out and rest and, you know, kind of get some punch, or go, you know, go eat something to get something to eat, or, you know, especially at a social function, go get something to eat or kind of sit out for a little bit and then come back. Or maybe do this for, or maybe socialize with people and get involved for like 5 minutes and then sit out and really try to recharge my battery and then come back in and then sit out and kind of yield to different periods of time. And I think Scorpio, as I've said, would be a great person who could uphold, be a good sounding board, be a good advisor when it comes to that. The other thing that I think Scorpio could help with is also how to, you know, really help this individual yield their influence, because Scorpio also has a lot of influence and charisma as well. And so kind of teach the tricks of the trade, if you may, is what I kind of see. And I think that also too, Scorpio is very supportive. They may not show it on the exterior. They have a very hard exterior. But they do have a very big heart, and they do yield a lot of really, they give a lot to their, to a lot of their coworkers, to their, the individuals with whom they can find loyalty with and with whom that they can love. So I think that would also, I think with this, with Mars conjunct Neptune, you know, their needs would be really well considered by Scorpio and really amped, you know, like really held very strongly, which I think an individual with this aspect really needs. They kind of need someone else to love them back and also to be loyal to them and show that they're constant in life. And I feel like Scorpio brings that. On the Yang side, now I was like thinking through this, and I'm still, I think I'm going to think out loud about this one. So Yang, so if this, there's an individual with Mars conjunct Neptune in their chart, and they have a lot of fire and air predominantly in their chart. I would say Aries possibly. Now, again, I'm seeing with Aries, because Aries is like the Yang equivalent of Scorpio. Again, helping this individual with boundaries, which I actually have personal experience with Aries with that. I usually have a lot of trouble with boundaries myself, having a heavy Libra component in my chart. So a lot of Aries individuals actually do help me to construct those boundaries and also assert myself whenever need be. You know, they help to teach me to be more assertive in situations and how to also be assertive without crushing people or overruling people. you know, how to be like constructively assertive, if you may. And I think somebody who has Mars conjunct Neptune would actually benefit from Aries as well. Like how to assert yourself in a situation, how to just not blend into the crowd, but also see who you are away from the crowd, how to assert again, boundaries, you know, very constructive and very, neat boundaries around you, as well as how to get what you would like met, how to get your needs met. Aries is also very loyal, and they can be, I mean, they can be friends forever. They can be lovers forever, which I think, and also partners forever. And I think, again, that's something that Mars conjunct Neptune individuals really need in their lives. So, Stargazers, this is the episode at large. Again, so sorry for the pauses and clearing my throat. I'm going to have to look at the different onslaughts that are continually threatening my voice and really start implementing them when I record. But as always, do not be afraid to look up at the stars. Right now, we are in a new moon phase after the whole total solar eclipse within Aries. That energy too, I think, is still settling in right now. Either a lot of people have this go, 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 move forward sort of energy, this premature move forward energy in them. Or personally, what I've been experiencing is kind of a lag. I've been like really slowed down tremendously. That might be a good thing for me. You know, knowing that the solar eclipse hit outside my ninth house, house of travel and learning. It's like kind of slowed down before these opportunities come your way. But I just, like I said, I've just been like procrastinating a lot lately, and I've just been, you know, feeling a huge lag. And I've been trying to work with that and try to overcome those hurdles. But yeah, definitely share your experiences with the solar eclipse. If you went to go see it, any sort of energies you guys are experiencing, definitely share with me on my Instagram page, at sandra.mysek, also at mysek, mysek.sandra@gmail.com. I'd really love to hear from you and love to share. But also, you know, being in that new moon phase, it's the moon is starting to illuminate the sky, so we might be able to see more of that. But I think above all, looking up at the stars goes back to our origins of the how the 12 horoscope signs actually arose, or how the 12 zodiacal signs actually arose. Above all, Stargazers, Mercury retrograde is still within Aries. A lot of people are very go, 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 very premature sometimes. So do be careful, especially if you're behind a vehicle. And do be careful if you're walking about and just making sure that somebody is not running you over or coming close to running you over or having a close accident, because those have been pretty predominant, unfortunately. But above all, Stargazers, between now and next week, I will talk with you then. You can also become a Patreon to this podcast. Visit 7th House Astrology patreon.com/7th House Astrology for more details.